Okay, so we're in the middle of Kuf Tzadi Zayin over here, and we were discussing Tevila Bayom. Weren't we discussing Tevila Bayom already? We were discussing Tevila Bayom, and we're going to talk about Tevila and Yom Zayin, Tevila and Shabbos, we're discussing Tevila B'Shabbos, not yet Tevila Bayom, right. Okay, let's keep things straight over here. So this is what happens when there's a 48-hour lag. So anyone remember where we finished off? So Tevila B'Shabbos, right? So we pointed out the Gemara Maseches, just to quickly chaz over. The Gemara Maseches Beitza, that tells us that you can't be tovel kelim on Shabbos, but you can be tovel a person on Shabbos, because what's the Svara? Nira Kemaker. That a person, it looks like he's just going for a swim, and you don't have any concern of Tikkun Mana. That it looks like tikkun mana. So we pointed out that the Ravid talks about a case where Yom Tov was chal on Erev Shabbos, and she wouldn't be able to do the chafifa on Erev Shabbos, and he thought it's better not to go on Shabbos because anyway it's a tevila shelo bizmana. But that was a bit of a das yachid. But then we pointed out that the Mordechai says that since we hold like Rabbeinu Tam that tevila bizmana lav mitzvah, she should never go on Shabbos. What about Nir Kameikar? So Chumash Deshan says, nowadays it's never Nir Kameikar. They go with the ice picks and then it's a minig not to bake. Oh, Mazel Tov Chassan! I'm so sorry, I forgot. We don't have a minig, right? We don't.
We do.
We
have
to
not
do
the same. Oh my gosh.
When's the Chasana, Mr. Shem?
May 24th, 25th.
Around there. Okay, fantastic.
Give or take a day.
Give or take a day. Okay.
Now on the
Ksuba. Okay. On the Ksuba, make sure you get it right. Okay. Fantastic. So now I feel energized. So we learned that the Mordechai, the Truma Sedeshin rather, so nowadays there's no Nir Kameikar, and Rav Meisher writes in the Tshuva that the minhag is not even bathe in cold water. Rav Meisher writes in the Tshuva that minhag may not include a shower, which is something that we rely on, by the way, when there are like major heat waves in summer camps and things like that. Right, that even though there's a minhag according to Rav, we don't even bathe in cold water on Shabbos. Rav Meisher thinks that a shower is maybe not bathing in cold water, as far as that minhag is concerned. So sometimes if there's a heat wave and there's no, it used to be in summer camp there were no air conditioners. So back in those days, it would be necessary when there's a major heat wave that kids to cool off their bodies, to remain somewhat cool, to take a cold shower, and sometimes they even make to do so on Shabbos based on Rav Meisher. Anyway, it's no longer near a kameka, and that's especially true if it's very, very cold. Shur Sedeshin is still makel to go on Shabbos if her husband is in town and she couldn't go any earlier, and that's what the Ramah quotes. Right, let me point out that the Beis Yosef quotes from the Beis Yosef in Dibra Maslach Kachas of HaAgur writes that since Tevila B'Shabbos is explicitly mutter in the Gemara, so it's got to be mutter. Meaning, bottom line is, midim the Gemara, it's mutter. Okay, whether the Gemara Svara of Nira Kamekar it still holds true, it doesn't hold true. Bottom line is, it never goes there. They never made a gzeira against Tevila B'Shabbos. So mele, it's going to be mutter. So there is no Isur Drabanan. We're not going to make our own Isurim Drabanan. There is no Isur Drabanan against Tevila B'Shabbos. However, the Bach disagrees and says that Minhag Ashkenaz is to only allow it when the Tevila is on time, like the Ramah quotes that from Trus Deshen, and not to allow it if the woman is delaying her Tevila. So nowadays, right, we did all that last time, we mentioned that. So nowadays, nobody would think Nira Kameikar when a person goes to the mikvah, and that therefore leads to the Machlokas HaPoskim that we have. The Ramah and Sif Beis quotes the Chumash Sedeshin and only plasma is in town and she couldn't go any earlier. Then he quotes a minhag not to be tavela shalom bizmana on motzoi Shabbos, right? A second level, because it's unnecessarily marchik the chafifa from the tevila, which I don't know why that's an assumption, right? It's not necessarily marchik the chafifa from the tevila. It could just be that she does the entire chafifa on Motzei Shabbos, but that's another compromise, right? Then it unnecessarily runs the risk of rushing the chafifa, so it makes the chafifa at a less than ideal time. But generally, we do not accept that that chumrah. Good. Now we met the I think where we left off last time was we said we'll go through the Shevet Alevi. Shevet Alevi in Chelek Dalet Simon Kuf Zayin is makel to go on Friday night even if she could have gone earlier. What the Shevet Alevi starts with is, you know, it's a comment on the Ramah and Sif Beis where Mamakum Shein Minhag in the Hachmir, that if you don't have such a minhag not to go on Friday night, if there is no established minhag not to go on Friday, so don't be Machmir. So comes along Shevet Alevi, he says, you know, the Taz and the Bach are both Machmir, the Shach and the Torah Shlomim are both Mekil. And he says, you know, in Eretz HaKodesh, in Eretz Yisrael, in the we shouldn't be machmir. And he goes even further. Afilu pasha v'lo tavlo b'yam shulufnei Shabbos. Even if it wasn't a matter of, you know, onus or anything like that, she was not negligent. She decided not to go on Wednesday night or Thursday night. And now she wants to go on Friday night. It was pure pshia. Still says Rav Azin, we're going to let her go on Shabbos. Why? So it's a very key line that he has. He says, ki bizman hazeh, l'mi shemakir matzav hador utchunotav, asur lanu lidchos tevila. Someone who recognizes this generation and the way it operates, we cannot tell a woman not to go to the mikveh. It's also for us to say, no, go tomorrow. Meaning we have to recognize that people have the Yetzer Hara, and keeping a woman tameh for an extra day or two is something, even if she already did it to herself. So we don't take the attitude that, you kept yourself tameh for an extra day or two, so why is it going to cost it? Why does it matter if you're tameh for another day? Says Shevet Alevi, if there's a way to let her go to the mikveh, we let her go to the mikveh. And then he quotes the Tshuvas Hara Karmel, the Pitzchi Tshuva quotes, the Simcha Chafei, the Kosov, the Af B'makom Shein Noagin Levarich Ala Tevila Achrei HaTevila El Lefanav, even in a place where they do not say a bracha after the Tevila, they say a bracha before the Tevila, but when she's Tavelas B'Shabbos, she should either say the bracha after the Tevila or say it B'Lachash. Why does Hara Karmel say that? Because what's the whole svara why a woman is allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos and it's not? It doesn't look like Tikkun Mana. What did the Gemara say? Because Nira Kameka. You know what will take away the Nira Kameka? Bracha. She's a Hasher Kiddushan. That would take away Nira Kameka. Right? That would take away the whole sense of Nira Kameka. So that would be a problem. So that's what he quotes from the Hara Karmel, and he points out that similar to being tovel, what does the Gemara say, or the poskim say about being tovel kli on Shabbos, that what you could do is yimalenu mayim mikvah, but also tvilu lakli, that someone who wants to be matvilu kli on Shabbos, you do like a harama, that it looks like you're getting it wet anyway, and then the tvilu works. And the Magen Avraham says, but don't be mevarich on the tvilas kli, because then it's not muchach. It's going to be muchach that he's also, meaning if you don't say brach on the kli, it will not be muchach that you're also the shame tevila. So the same is true by woman. So says the Shevet Halevi, tevilas nida b'shabbos to kol ahet mishum tenira kameka v'imla v'aser mishum demesakein imkein kishetavarich lefnei tevila muchach deina kavana lemeker lesakein. There's no greater declaration that you're doing this for a halachic reason and not for a mekar than to say a bracha. Then the Shevet Halevi says, I disagree with that. I think you could say the bracha in the normal way. Why? He says, because when it comes to tevilas kelim, where al pidin it's really awesome to do the tevilas kelim. Al pidin it's really awesome. And the only way to do it is with a haramas hetter. The only way to do it is by doing some sort of harama that, you know, you wear the clothing, the Gemara says, and you walk through the river, right, wearing the clothing, and that way you're tovel the clothing. But it's all a harama that allows it. You have to make sure then that it's not muchach, that it's being done l'shem halacha, that you do it in a way where someone watching won't know that you're doing it l'shem halacha. Aval tzvilas nida, v'atameim, shemei yikari, hikilu v'lo gazu klav. He says, they never made a gezeira that a person can't go to the mikvah on Shabbos. Why didn't they make a gezeira? Because of nira kameka. But the bottom line is, there was never a gezeira. So if there was never a gezeira, then you don't need to make it so muchach. Because they didn't make a gezeira against tikkun mana of a person. Why didn't they make the gezeirah? Granted, they didn't make the gezeirah because they thought in most cases it's nira kameikar. But there's a difference between when there is a gezeirah and you're doing arama to get around the gezeirah versus when there's no gezeirah. So I think my impression is we pretty much hold like the Shevet HaLevi over here, that a woman can go to the mikvah on Friday night and we don't ask any questions. Like we said, women generally will avoid going to the mikvah on Friday night the best they possibly can. They don't like going to the mikvah on Friday night. And the situations usually that you get would come up where on Thursday night they had, you know, their best friend's wedding or something like that. Those would be the only situations. And, you know, no questions asked. That's fine. And they do the bracha in the normal way. Everything is done normally. We'll learn about how they do the bracha and what the best eitza is, Sfardim Ashkenazim. So we'll learn about that, God willing, not now, but later. That's.
When Rav Osner said that nowadays women are different, he was talking about women's tagas, men's tagas, everyone's tagas.
I think the overall community, the overall attitudes of people. And Rav Osner was not, you know, he was not in like the Five Towns or Teaneck, you know, like he was in, or, you know, Riverdale or, I don't know, whatever. He was not in the modern Orthodox hub, you know. He was in Bnei Brak. He says just the nature of people nowadays is rough. So it's pretty interesting. What about a heated mikvah? So this is a major discussion. I was with Rabbi Shai Shachter on Friday in a car, in my car, and he got a phone call from someone. Asking about going to the mikvah on Shabbos. A man wanted to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, so he said, "Why do you want to go to the mikvah?" So he said, "Because I was asked to name my granddaughter on Shabbos." So it's appropriate to go to the mikvah before I name my granddaughter. So here's a person who never went to the mikvah on Shabbos before. So he said, "Okay, so by the Chassidim, so there's, you know, there are minhagim about this, and there's what." So you're going to go into a heated mikvah on Shabbos. You want to name your granddaughter? So he told him, just don't do it. Right? What do you need to go to the mikvah to name your granddaughter? Because it's a real issue. Going into a heated mikvah, is that something you could just stop and do? So let's talk about it. So where was he coming from in this? So there's a Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Lamed Tes on the days, where the Gemara says, Chamet Shulchuchim Me'erev Shabbos L'machar, Rochitz Ben Panov Yadav Raglov, Avalo Kol Gufo. That if you have water heated from before Shabbos, so the next day, you can use that water that's still warm to wash your hands, face, and feet, but not kol gufo. That's what's known as the gezeiras habalan, that we don't allow a person to bathe in warm water, even if it was all heated before Shabbos, all the bishul was done before Shabbos, because we're afraid that he's going to come to, that the people who heated the water are going to feel a certain pressure in their job to have warm water ready or hot water ready for the person, for their customers, and they might end up being mevashal the water on Shabbos and lying about it, right? And they'll tell you that they didn't, that they weren't not mevashal the water on Shabbos, and therefore we don't bathe on Shabbos in any heated water. Now, aside from this iser on Shabbos, there's a fascinating shitas haMordechai in Hilchos Mepos from Tavshin Nun, in the back of the Masechet Nida, says that even on weekdays you can't use a warm mikvah. Whoa. So that we do not accept. Nobody accepts that. But the Mordechai says, even on weekdays, you can't use a warm mikvah. Why? Gzeira mishamayim shu'uvim. How are they going to heat up a mikvah on a weekday? Some mistama, they'll use some sort of kalim or something to transfer water, a lot of hot water into the mikvah. Gzeira mishamayim shu'uvim. What about the fact that Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, the Gemara says, had he heated mikvah? Right? So the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim was an exception, because ain't shvus b'mikdash. But it's an issur d'rabbanan mishamayim shu'uvim. Shitas Mordechai is obviously rejected the halacha, but it's an interesting source, at least in the sugya of Ein Shlos B'Mikdash, meaning in Lamdus is a good source. Because Ein Shlos B'Mikdash, what does that mean exactly? That there are no Yisurim D'Rabban at all in the Mikdash, or maybe only Avoda-related things, Ein Shlos B'Mikdash? Meaning, if a person happens to be in the Mikdash, but it's something that's totally not related to Avoda, so they're just allowed to violate Yisurim D'Rabban, you know, in the Mikdash. So, and then you have to cheshbon, is this an avoda related thing? Right? Going to the mikvah is not the avoda, it's like the hechsher for the avoda. So how do we view going to the mikvah? So it's a good maramakom in the ancient b'mikdash, you know, sugya. In our sugya, it's not really, it doesn't really do anything, because we totally reject this Mordechai, obviously. We do, in fact, obviously use heated mikvahs. Yeah.
Could it have something to do with they're not, like, no one would think there's any chashad that in the Beit HaMikdash of all places people do it, that mean, a lot of the reason why we have the Rabbanans are because of the Gezeira Mishum. That there's no Mishum in the Beit HaMikdash because...
Okay, this is a bigger conversation, but Gezeira Mishum means a lot of different things. Sometimes it means because this activity looks very similar to that activity. It's just they're similar activities, and they can easily be confused with each other. Sometimes it's that if you do this activity, it would naturally follow that you'll do the next activity.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's if you do this activity, people will think that you're doing that activity, right? So it's not all drabanans are even gzeros drabanans are let alone takanas, but not all gzeros drabanans are for the same, you know, for the same exact cheshbon. Okay, Ancient Mikdash is a good sugya, but you know, not for now. The big maramakom in heated mikvahs is the Karban Asana. The Karban Asana in the second paragraph of Masechta Shabbos, in Siman Chaf and the Rosh, in the Os Kuf in Karban Asana, he says that Me'ikra Din, it's mutter to use a warm mikvah, because the mikvahs were never included in Gezeiras HaBalanim. Gezeiras HaBalanim is for bathhouses, not for mikvahs. And he says, and if you don't believe me, you have to read the lengthy piece I've written on this topic elsewhere, that Tevilah B'mikvah is not including Gezeiras HaBalanim. I don't know where one can find the lengthy piece that the Karban Asana apparently wrote, but min haklal Yisrael, we take him at his word that he has proof somewhere, and it's just been hidden from us what that proof is, which is kind of tough, you know. Normally, like, if you want to get a psak passed, you have to, it's got to go through peer review, you know, so to speak, right? And he did it. So, but it seems at least that we rely on that Karban Asana. Now, just to give a little bit of background, the Mishnah Maseches Yuma is the source, because the Mishnah talks about the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, right? So the Mishnah says in Yuma Lamed Aleph and Beis that im hayu Kohen Gadol zakei no istinis. If the Kohen Gadol was a little older, or he was more of an istinis, it would heat up water and put it into the cold water in order to take away the chill of the water. So Nedv Yehuda in Madur Tinyan Archaim Sim Chavdalid writes that the Shoal thought to include lukewarm water in the Gezeiras HaBalanim, and that they only allowed Shetafik Tzinasan even for the Kohen Gadol, meaning that really Gezeiras HaBalanim is not only that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water, you're not even allowed to bathe in lukewarm water, Mishum Gezeiras HaBalanim. And Kohen Gadol is an exception. There was a special exception made for an istinus, a zakein, a Kohen Gadol, and Yom Kippurim. That was an exception to the rule. But the rule is, even lukewarm is an issue. That's what the Shoal thought. Nedv Yehuda disagrees. Nedv Yehuda even allows lukewarm water for Tevila B'Shabbos, because he does not think it's a special Kohen Gadol exception. But he does reject the Karban Asana's all-out heter for even hot water. Meaning, there are three ways you can look at it. You could say that the Gezeiras HaBalanim just simply doesn't apply to Tevila, and therefore you could use boiling hot water. And that is Karban Asana. You could say Gezeiras HaBalanim on the other extreme. Gezeiras HaBalanim does apply, and Gezeiras HaBalanim includes even lukewarm water. And that is the Shoal in the Nedv Yehuda. Or you could go somewhere in the middle. That Gezeiras HaBalanim applies, but Gezeiras HaBalanim was only about very, very hot water. This happens to be 2 days in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shaar HaTzion. Rav Shachter likes to quote, I think, Beis Meir and Beis Ramban. I don't remember all the Marmakomos, but I think I have a Tamil Alachashir somewhere on showering with hot water on Yantif. So this is the Indian. What is Gzeres HaBalam? Meaning, if you think about it, Mishsevara, why wouldn't the Balam just heat up all the water before Yantif or before Shabbos and allow people to use it on Shabbos? Why would they feel the pressure to heat it up on Shabbos? So the svara might be that people want hot. They don't want warm. They want hot. So the gzera might have been dafka when it was hot water, when it was very hot water. But if it's just warm, then if it's below yatzaledes, then maybe it would be okay. I think that's the gedra Shachter gave for warm. He thought it was machlok sapos and it's kedai to try to be machmir, and that you should only make it warm enough shetafik tzinasan to take away the chill of the water. That it shouldn't be like, you know, that you're shaking in the shower, but that there's what to rely on for those who want to rely, that there's what to rely on even if it's warm, as long as it's not yatzel like this. Now, I don't know if any of you have showers that have like temperature knobs, nor do I know how accurate those temperature knobs are, but yatzel is hot. It's like really hot. most of the time, probably when you take a regular shower, it's not yatzah levis. So if you're going to rely on that, you'd be taking pretty warm showers on yantif. Obviously, that's a whole different sugya, whether you could shower on yantif at all or not, whether it's we consider it to be davar shavu kol nefesh, because when we're showering on yantif, we're actually being mevashel the water. So that's a different story. But over here, just mitam the gzeira, mitam the din derabbanan, where there's not going to be any bishul going on in Shabbos. These are the three approaches. So just 1 second. So Ned Yehuda rejects the common sense all out heter. Chacham Tzvi holds that you should be tovel ben hashmashos, and then you avoid the gzeira sabbalan because they're not gozer during ben hashmashos, which is, by the way, standard practice in. From the Kvaos, I think, I don't know if this is across all of Orthodoxy, but standard practice of most of the Kvaos is that they open up a little earlier on Friday night than they do during the rest of the week. Which would mean, if the mikvah is normally makbid that no one goes to the mikvah until 40 minutes after Shkia, on Friday night people are being told 20 minutes after Shkia. So you can rely that that might still be Ben Hashmashos, and then you have this extra heter of the heated mikvah on Friday night. So again, Pashtus is the world relies on carbon asan. But we should realize, it's a sugya, right? So some guy who's never gone to the mikveh before in his life, and he's not Hasidish or anything, and he's not a sandik, and he's not, you know, he's just getting an aliyah, naming his granddaughter, you know, you understand why you'll tell such a person, well, are you sure you want to just rely on carbon asan? Let mikvahs are just, you know, you don't need a mikveh. But you know, obviously, if you're coming from a place where you go to the mikveh every day, where you're for whatever or every Shabbos or well every day, let's say, so then you're going to come from a different place. Yeah, question.
Just a little confused about the notes view that you reject the korban masana, that there's no gzeiras balanim, but thinks that the gzeiras balanim doesn't include
warm water. The gzeiras balanim only includes hot water in general. Yeah. Meaning this is machlokas on the page of Mishavurim. Meaning this is machlokas we showed him really what the gzeiras habalanim includes.
If that guy called and was a sandik that day, even if he didn't have a miller before,
I'd be shy what he would have told him. I don't know. Generally, I'd be go there on Shabbos. Shabbos morning.
Why do we assume that the gzeira applies if there are no balanim around?
Okay. So that's a question of to what extent do we take. The Rambam, the second paragraph of Tzimam, and you want to imagine that anytime Chazal made a gzeira, then in Bezin Yachal Vatel, the Rebezin Chaveira, the King Gavir, Menem, Bechach, Minyan, even if the Tam no longer applies.
I'm saying that they would only have been gozer in a place where there were Balanim. So not to uproot it.
So you have to look at what the wording of the gzeira is, which we're not really privy to. But that's what Shach writes in Eretz Tzvi, that very often the wording of the gzeira would make a difference as far as being mevatel gzeira when the reason doesn't apply. So if the gzeira was you can't bathe because of balanim, then when there's no balanim, it would be the gzeira would not have been activated. You know, the gzeira wouldn't apply when there's no balanim. But if the gzeira was just no bathing in warm water, the reason was because of balanim. That was the unstated reason. You go through Shach's piece in Eretz Tzvi. It's a very nice piece on. Even Rabban Gzeros and Takanos, and when the time makes a difference, when it doesn't make a difference. Right, like a local kind of thing. Right. Good. So that's a little bit of the issue of being tovel in a warm mikveh. So there is the sheet of the carbon sandal. It is relied upon, but it's does anyone know, does it exist anywhere? Does it, that piece that he's talking about that he wrote, if anyone comes across anything, anyone who did any research and can find it, I'd love to see what his argument is. Another point before we get to Tevila B'Yom, the Badei HaShulchan talks about what if you have a couple that is not medically cleared for Tashmish, should she be Tovelis? And this is Maisin B'Chol Yom. A woman has a baby, the doctor says, After the six-week checkup, that's when I'll tell you if you're clear for Tashmish or not. If everything goes well, hopefully 6 weeks after the baby, she's clear to have Tashmish. But very often, a woman is able to become Tohoda. She stops bleeding 3.5-4 weeks after having the baby. She's able to go to the mikveh 5 weeks after having the baby. And now she has a whole week in between when she can go to the mikveh and when she's going to be medically cleared for Tashmish. So do we recommend going to the mikveh in such a case? Should she be tovelis? So the Badei HaShulchan, the Biurim over here, writes, Ubekinah sofrim, bahashmatos, l'shiari taresim, samchal nishal, Case was that it wasn't healthy for him. Should she go to the mikvah so that they can hold hands, they can do other things, that they can pass the salt at the dinner table? She doesn't have to go to the mikvah. She only has to go to the mikveh when the husband is able to provide her with the chiyuv ona. But if it's his, the problem is within him, and he's not able to give her what she needs, then she's not mishuba to go to the mikveh. Umashma. So he says, sounds like if the woman is the one who is not yet medically cleared, she should go to the mikvah on account of shar kravels. And he goes on to say, and the reason he mentions it here is that we'd allow tevila b'shabbos for that purpose, for shar kravels, even on Shabbos, because shar kravels are also a mitzvah. He says, and he says that's the riot is that the Shach writes in the name of Marami, in Sivkat and Gimel, named Marami Lublin, that a Kala Basula would be allowed to go to the mikvah on Friday night, even if their minhag was not to have Biyah Rishon on Shabbos. If not having Biyah Rishon, what do you need to send it to the mikvah on Friday night? Elamai, Shach Kravis is also a good enough reason to go to the mikvah. So not just good enough reason to go to the mikvah, but pretty amazing. Says the Bar Shulchan, good enough reason to go to the mikvah on Friday night. Even do a Shabbos tefillah. I will tell you that will never happen. Meaning, women hate going to the mikvah Friday night, so she's not going to do that. Meaning, she's been tummy for a month, right? She's not going to pump to choose the time where it's going to be Friday night. So she'll do her hafsiktara a day later, and she'll start her shiva mikiyim a day later. So it typically won't happen, but technically that would be permissible. I remember this is something that Rabbi Willick felt very strongly about, also as Rabbi Shechter, that if a woman's not able to have tashmish, it's still very much kedai to go to the mikvah, because other intimate interactions are also worthwhile. There are poskim, if I recall correctly, Rav Ozner, Shevet HaLevi, was not so happy about it. He thought it's chashash and tzazer lebatala to have a woman go to the mikvah without having the ability to have tashmish. But our poskim in general are makel on this.
No, I was
going to
ask what's the exact
thing. Chashash and tzazer lebatala.
Is that a question of making a bracha on?
No, she's being tahor. She's being matar herself. There's no issue with the bracha. The issue is tzazer lebatala. And if they're going to allow shar kravels, but it has nowhere to go. So then,
Is there a problem of sending her to the mikvah when you know, meaning like, would we rather push it off for 4 or 5 days if we know that would turn the tefillah in a time that there could be mitzvah ona?
I don't think we'd rather push it off. I think we'd rather do it on time. I think we'd rather, I think we'd rather do it on time. Yeah.
If the whole reason to go is because of shar kravels, then shouldn't she have the right to not go because
She's not mishubedes to him, you're saying. Why should she be mishubedes? I mean, it's just a good shalom bayis kind of thing. Okay, tevila b'yom.
Wait, so the question of the case that the Badei Shofan was discussing was specifically tevila on Shabbos for
so
a couple of
he started with, in general, with a guy who was unhealthy, was unable to have tashmish, or it would have been damaging to him. But then he was medayik that if it's damaging to her, that she should go, just for the sake of shar kravels. And then he's mechadesh on top of that, even on Shabbos.
Sorry, it seems to me that this is backwards far from what we said in our chakot about when a husband and wife are sick, respectively. That when the wife is sick, we're worried that the husband will convince the wife to do something that's dangerous. Whereas when the husband's sick, the wife will not have the same time as convince the husband to do something that's dangerous. So I would say the opposite, possibly, in the Badei Shulchan Sfarah, that if the husband is the reason why they can't have tashmish, then no problem, she can go to the mikvah. Like, there's no possible problem because we don't have a chashash that she's going to make him do something dangerous. Whereas if she's the reason...
So I think what he's saying is not about whether she can, whether she must. Meaning, does she have a shibut to him to do that?
Or wouldn't the shibut still apply the same way as the Harkakot Sfarah?
So
that if he's the one who
No, because the Arachak is what we're concerned about is it going to lead to Tashmish? Over here, let's take the Tashmish out of it. They're not going to have Tashmish, they're very frum, they're going to be fine. The question is she Mukhiyabas to do this? Tevila B'yom. So, a lot to say on Tevila B'yom. It's going to take us a little bit. Basic halachic background first. For a Nida, going to the mikvah on day 7 doesn't work, right? Nida dal raisa. Nida dal raisa, she needs to go at night after the 7 days are over. She'd be chayv kares if she had bia on day 7 after going to the mikvah, right? That's nida dal raisa. Nida dal raisa is coming for a total of 7 days. If she has to go to the mikvah after the 7 days are over, if she were to go during those 7 days, chayv kares. However, for a Nida dal raisa, going to the mikvah on day 8 would be permissible. Right? On the 8th day, that would work midoraisa. And the Gemara Nida of Samach Zayinim Beis discusses whether it also works midrabbana. Right? On a drabbana level, do we allow day 8 for a Nida doraisa? So Amar Rav says the Gemara Samach Zayinim Beis, Nida bizmana eina tovelis ela belayla. Vishalo bizmana tovelis bein biyom bein belayla. If she's going on time, it's got to be at night. If she's already going day 8, so then it could be biyom or belayla. She could even go during the daytime. That's Rav. Rav Yochanan Amar, bein bizmana bein shalo bizmana eina tovelis ela belayla. And no, a nida can only go during the night. Why? Mishum srach bita. Because we're afraid that the daughter is going to learn from her mother. And she'll think that you can go during the day, and she'll end up going on the 7th day, and that would be an absolute disaster. And then the Gemara says, va'af rav adar bein. Dabrab Khibarashi Amarav, Nida, Bain Bizmana, Bain Shalom Bizmana, in a tavelas, Ella Balaila, Mishum Srach Vita. The Rav himself changed his mind that he thought Srach Vita is an issue. So most Rishonim hold that it's Asr Mishum Srach Vita, and it's a low plug, so it applies even if she doesn't have any daughters. Right? So that's what we assume, that's what the Maskam of the Gemara seems to be. That Nida is not allowed to go to the mikvah even on the following day because of Srach Vita. Now that's for a Nida. A Zava Gedola is on a Daraisa level, a lot of go to the mikvah during the day on a Daraisa level, and that's based on the Ksiyam Kekulam. But the Gemara says, Aval Amrucham Masulasis came Shem Tavali de Safik. A different issue. Not Shach Bita. Why shouldn't she go to the mikvah on day 7 if it works? So the Gemara says, because Shem Tavali de Safik. What does it mean, Shem Tavali de Safik? So it means that she's going to go to the mikvah at noon. She'll have bia with her husband at 1, and then at 2 o'clock she might become Tameya again, and then it will be Soser, all the Shiv and the Kibbutz, and Mafreya, and it will turn out that they violated Nisar Karis when they were together. So that's what we're trying to avoid. Shemet Tira, Shemet Tishamesh, Vitira, Vitista. Right? That's what we're worried about. So these are two independent concerns that each need to be applied whenever we're going to talk about a woman going to the mikvah. We have to think about, is there a chashash of Shemek Tira v'tishamish v'tistar, and we have to think, is there a chashash of Srach Bita before we give any kulas about going to the mikvah during the day? And we have to, you know, cross both of those concerns off of the list. That's the way to think about the sugya. So now let's apply the sugya the way the Rishonim did. So the Baal Amar in the Baalei HaNefesh, Shara Tevila Siman Aleph, says, no concern mida or raisa for her to be tovelas biyom, for a Zava Gedola to be Tavelis B'yom, and every woman nowadays is Zava Gedola. Midor Raisa, obviously there's no concern, right? Why is there not a concern on the Dor Raisa level? Because she's not a Nida. Nida can't go during the day. Zava Gedola is absolutely allowed to go during the day. And even if she is a Nida, it's day 12 already. It's day 13. It's not day 7. So no concern Midor Raisa. And then he says, and it's not even a concern Midrabanan, as long as she doesn't have Tashmish that day. Shemet Tira V'tistar is only a problem if she has Tashmish. Aye, what about Srach Bita? The Gemara never said Srach Bita for a Zava. Srach Bita was for a Nida, not for a Zava. So the concern of Srach Bita only applies to Nida Doraisa. Where, why? Because that mistake would cause her to go to the mikvah at a time that Tevila doesn't work. Meaning, think about what the stakes are. If a girl gets the wrong impression about when a Nida Doraisa goes to the mikvah. So Gemara is assuming, normally Nida goes the night after the 7 days are over. But think about what the stakes are if the daughter thinks, oh, you're allowed to go on the 7th day. And then she does that, it's going to be terrible. That's going to be Chiyuv Kares. The Tevila doesn't even work. So she can have that whole month. She'll be violating the Sakaris and her husband will be violating the Sakaris. The stakes are enormously high. It says Balamar, when you're dealing with the Sava Gedolva, what are you worried about Shach Mita? What's the daughter going to do already? The mother's going to go on day 8. The daughter's going to think, oh, I could go on day 7. Okay, you can. Meaning, we don't like it, because then if you're with your husband, we're concerned. Shema, Tira, Vitzshamish, Vitistar, okay. But even that's a drabanan. So the stakes aren't nearly as high. And everybody's a zavi nowadays, so we don't have to be concerned about Tzrach Mita. Even if she goes to the mikvah during the seventh day, no harm will come of it. That's what the Baal Amar writes. V'ani omer, shelo nemra shmua zu el bizman she'yiv benos Yisrael om dosat in Torah. Al bizman hazeh, she'in kulon safek zavos, ein lachos shel Tzrach Mita, v'tavelos l'zayin l'sfirasa, shu shmini l'riyasa, v'afil b'yom. She'd go on the seventh day. V'asul l'shem, shad erev. Just don't have tashmish till that night. V'tam al atzmach. He says, you think you're being so frum by not letting her go during the day? Tevila b'zman mitzvah. You're ruining tevila b'zman mitzvah because you want to be so frum for such a ridiculous chashash. And he says, there's something sveikos of you. Shema zavi, shema tishamish b'yom, shema tistar svirasa. You don't have to worry about all of that happening. That's too much to worry about. That's the sheet of the Baal Amar. We never postulate Baal Amar in anything, pretty much, except for one notable exception. Yes, the international dateline is the notable exception where we postulate the Baal Amar. Whereas the Chazanish postulates the Baal Amar. But the Chazanish isn't even really postulating the Baal Amar. He said he's the only one on record that talks about it. So we assume all the Rishonim agree. That's essentially how, they don't really talk about the Rishonim didn't really talk about the international dateline much. So since the Baal Amar might have spoken about it, maybe, since the Baal Amar might have spoken about the international dateline, so that's the one place. But outside of that, we almost never pass the Baal Amar, but it's good to know that there's such a sheet. Yeah.
Would you everyone like the Zava, the Chumra, he's using it as a Kuri?
No, because in fact, no one's ever going to go to the mikvah on day 7 as a Nida, on the seventh day of Nidus. I mean, that chashash doesn't exist anymore. Whatever the daughter sees, she's never going to go on the seventh day of Nidus anymore, because no one goes on the seventh day, period. Everyone's going on day 12, day whatever, 13.
But whatever the equivalent of day 7 is for us in our world, it would still be us for real. Not Midrasa, but...
So he's saying, not even Midrabana. That Tzrach Mita doesn't exist. What?
If you go on day 7, that wouldn't be Shemakim.
Sure would. Because Mixiam Kula. On a Midrasa, Mixiam Kula, for sure. Yeah. So that's a Baal Amar. Hagos Maimonios in Yisurah Bia Parakid Aleph Os Aleph. So she can go to the mikvah on the eighth day nowadays, meaning our typical Nidos where we assume there's Zavah Gedolah. So not on the eighth day, because we're not worried about Tzrach Mita by Zavah Gedolah. Because Tzrach Mita was only a concern for... Tzrach Mita was only a concern... I mean, he accepts that part of Baal Amar. Tzrach Mita was only a concern for Nidah Daraisa. It's not a concern for Zavah Gedolah. But you can't go on the seventh day. Why? Because you have the other concern. Shema, Tishamesh, Vatira, Vatistar. So that part of the Baal Amar, says, don't worry about it. Just don't be Mishamesh. And you won't have that concern. I'm not trusting people, says Agos Maimon Yosef, to just not be Mishamesh. She came back from the mikvah, she's Torah. Why wouldn't she be Mishamesh? So he writes, V'chein kosev sefer chumah v'mitzvah, Shechoshim Mishum Strach Vita, Afilu Bidos Akron Shnag Chumra Dorizera, the Garcin Rasam. Where is it? Avravia Kasov, the Ain Shaykh Lachush Bidoros Akron Mishum Strach Vita, says Agos Maimonios. We don't have to worry about Strach Vita now. They shall have you Tita Vita lit Bobium Zion Sulkala Tvila. Even if the daughter makes a mistake and goes a day earlier, the Tvila will work. It will come out of Berek. V'chein Rabbeinu Simcha, v'had iskin Rava Kan zehaya bina arusa, v'adayim l'pashto chumra d'Rabbi Zeira. When Rava made such a takana, even though the chumra of Rabbi Zeira existed in the time of Rava, but it wasn't yet widespread. B'kol makom, avam misha pashto muteres l'pol b'yom chesafil b'lo dochak. Once nispashik chumra d'Rabbi Zeira, then day 8 you have nothing to worry about. So shita number 2, Agos Maimonios. She can go on day 8, just not day 7. And the concern is not Srach Vita. The concern is Shema Tishamish Vitira Vitista. And then you have Shita Satosos. Tosos and Sechas Nida. is the most machmir. Doesn't allow any daytime tevila, and the concern of shemet, tishamish, v'tira, v'tistar precludes the seventh day, and strach bita precludes both days. Meaning strach bita is a concern any time you're going to go during the day, and the seventh day you have to be concerned about shemet, tishamish, v'tira, v'tistar. That's what Tosis writes in Maseches Nida. Right, Tosis Lashon. Lekalafushe says Tosfos. Didafka benida asum shem strach bita shetesvura shu shvi v'titpol b'shvi v'tshamesh v'kakareks. Don't say that it's only by a nida where it's going to be mamish kareks. Aval zava afilu im bita savura shu shvi leki yisur daraisa l'chashash b'alma. Whereas by a zava, at worst, it's only going to mean a violation of a chashash midraban and shematira achar shetitpol b'yom shvi. K'rab shem halakal lememar. The iskin ravel and mit will be a mama to me not a bimachuza, mishum avulai. Mashma halav avulai yasser. Rava in a shasad chak allowed to be on day 8. Afal gav the chumra drebe zera hais and her hagas biyama. Even though they already had chumra drebe zera. But only day 8 he allowed it when there was a shasad chak, not day 7. That's shita satosos. How do we pass on shulchanach? Shulchanach and sif gimel. Paskins like tosos. Asur litpol b'yom shvi, v'afilu mantenes mi litpol ad yom shmini ad shi, en yuchal litpol b'yom mishum shrach bita. So he breaks it down into two categories. You can never go on day 7. Even day 8, you have to be worried about shrach bita. So you have both the concern of shrach bita and the concern of shemet shemesh v'tistar on day 7, and you have shrach bita on day 8. Which means that if we're going to ever be makel to go during the daytime, any such chulos would only be on day 8. They would never be on day 7. Because you need to get rid of the Shemit Shem, and then Strach Bita, we could see if we could play. Right? We could see if there's some other Kula around Strach Bita. That's what emerges from the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. So that then begs the question, are there any cases where we could actually be Mekel, where a woman goes to Mekel during the day? Meaning you've all, I don't know if you all have, but you'll hear of cases at different times where people are allowed to go during the day. So what's that based on? Where does that come from, they go during the day? I had the opportunity to talk to a bunch of questions from Rabbi Willig this morning, and I was surprised. I never spoke to him about this. He is Eish Lahava against going during the day, in almost any circumstance. He said that every time someone calls in Riverdale to ask if they go during the day, so he said no. So they say, but in Tinek, but in Nurushal, but in Tinek, go to Nurushal. He said, an Israeli guy called him and says, Biti tzricha litbo. That's strange. Okay. Beseder. Tzricha litbo b'yom. Lo. Okay. Aval ba'aretz? As titbol ba'aretz. So. So let's discuss what's behind this. Like what's the
That's only day 7.
Ooh, so let's talk about that. Okay. So first of all, Shasad Chak. The Gemara allows for Shasad Chak on day 8. That's Beferish in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Samo Zayin Beis, Iskin Rav Idi Benarish, Lemitbol B'yoma Tetmanya, Mishamar Yusa. Okay, it wasn't like a normal chashash like we would have nowadays, but there were lions out in the street at night, and the lions roamed at night. And I guess all day they sleep, and at night they roam the streets, right? So that's kind of dangerous. So they said, you know what? Dangerous enough, you can go during the daytime. Rav Acha bar Yaakov b'Svunya mishum Ganvi, there were bandits, Ganavim, Rav Yehuda b'Humdisum mishum Sina. Okay, all these different reasons. Shem Avalai, what's Avalai? I don't remember. What's Avalai?
The gates
of the city are closed. And you can be, okay, fine. So essentially, we disregard Strach Bita when nighttime travel is dangerous. Right? You can overcome Strach Bita. Ooh. So you got to have the model in your head now. Why do we not allow day 8? That's only Strach Bita. So the Gemara says explicitly, forget about Strach Bita when it's dangerous. Why do we not allow day 7? So if day 7 were only about Strach Bita, then you should allow day 7 in all these same circumstances. But if day 7 is also about Shemit Shamish Vitir Vitistar, then you're not going to allow day 7, okay? And in fact, there have been times where communities have had to rely on this. In the first Gulf War in Israel, 1990, when Saddam Hussein was shooting Scud missiles at Israel every single night, and there was a curfew, you weren't allowed to go out at night, so the Rabbanut made a takana that the mikvos are going to be open during the day, and that women should go during the day, because they have to be in the cheder atum with the gas masks on all night, in their, you know, at that time.
Is that supposed to be on the eighth day, though?
On the eighth day, only the eighth day, only the eighth day. That's what the Rabbanu relied upon, but to go on the eighth day.
Now, is there a tashmish during war?
Ah, there is such a necessity of tashmish during war, but we go to the mikvah without tashmish. Right? Rav Asher Weiss has an interesting tshuva on that, by the way. I think it was during Tzuk Eitan that he wrote a tshuva about having tashmish during war, his man has said. So I remember what he said. I gave a Tamin Alach Shir in it. I do remember having not prepared for a Tamin Alach and someone emailing me that tshuva, and I'm like, great. I just read it for 10 minutes. see if you listen to it, see if you could tell that I'm like, it's like the biggest surprise to me, isn't it? You know, what it says in the next line. You saw Rav Asher in Sderot. Oh my gosh. It's good if you didn't, means you're not on social media so much. I only had it sent to me 10 times. What about the seventh day? So, Balamar. Of course, right? Balamar would allow it, but he's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, right? We don't pass like Balamar. So the Bach in Kuvtzad Zayin over here, Va'al Karchach, Da'agazu lo Mariel b'nashav sh'tolz b'shvi b'yom, di b'tolz b'shvi b'yom, ha'vadei d'lak amad d'palag v'sover d'la also l'tvila. Everyone would agree on day 8 it works. The Kibin David l'chad chilish harim yishim tzim, kol shkim b'diyavet, also l'tvila, af p'lo shamonis. Says the Bach, clearly on day 8 it works. Whether you have a good enough excuse to go or not during the daytime, it definitely works on day 8. On day 7 there's a machlokas whether it works or whether she's going to have to go again. It was because of Rashba Rabbein Yeruchim and Viyo Beis Yosef. Vim Kein, Heich Kasav B'Shem Maharam V'Hari V'Hitzrich Lipol Pam Shnia. So I don't understand why you could ever say that she has to go again. Al Valkarch D'Mayim V'Nashma Shetolz B'Yom Hashvi Ika'amah. That case must be that day 8 or day 9 there's ones. They couldn't go then, so they went on day 7. Let's say it was like some non Jewish holiday where you get killed if you go out during the day. But for whatever reason, the holiday didn't fall out on day 7. But they couldn't go out at night. So in that case where it's not possible to go on day 8 or day 9, you can only go on day 7 and you can't go at night for whatever reason, that's where the Raviyah says the Tevila counts, but don't have Tashmish until night. And that makes a lot of sense not to have Tashmish until night, because then you take care of the Chashash Hashem and Tashmish with your Tizda. V'kamer ba'agur b'shem maharash t'tzricha lahastir tevilasa mibayla. And he says, don't tell the husband that you went to the mikvah. When nightfall comes, say, surprise, I already went to the mikvah. But don't tell the husband when she actually goes. An extra avoidance of Shemit Shamish. Fine. He seems to be suggesting that Shasat Chakadi Avidami. And it would therefore be permitted on day 7 b'shas al-chak, just like day 7 works b'diyavet. So b'shas al-chak will allow tevila on day 7, provided that she doesn't have tashmish until nightfall. Problem is, he points out himself that some rishonim disagree. That rishonim hold that you have to go to the mikvah again. It doesn't even work on day 7. Shulchan Aruch Sif Hei, im avra v'tavla b'ches b'yom below ones. Afilu alchi also la tvila, v'chein im avram etavul b'zayin b'yom also la tvila. Shulchan Aruch paskins that it does work b'diavad, but again b'diavad. Now all you have to take from b'diavad is shasar chak b'diavad. Make it a big enough shasar chak, and then a shasar chak has the same status as a b'diavad, and you'd be allowed to go. The shach sivkat mir aleph. V'abach pasuk lahachmir k'maril v'agos memes v'agos sharidur b'shem aram b'yom zayin lo also la tvila. He's quoting the Bach, but not really the Bach, but the Rishonim that the Bach quote, that it's not okay. V'tov lahachmir hechad ha'efshar. Kibishkein gamkein das harayvid va'agos maimonis va'arav v'shem ha'shiltos. So the question now becomes, what constitutes a Shasar Chak? Meaning, essentially, we have a Machlokes Rishonim where the Tevila works on day 7, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that it does, B'diyeved, and we have the principle of Shasar Chak Ediyavidan. So many, many assume, and Rav Willig assumes this as well, that a 3-day Yom Tov, when she's not in walking distance to a mikveh, is a Shasar Chak. Meaning, if her Leil Tevila is, let's say Yantif is Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, so Wednesday night is the first night of Yantif, and it's from Leil Tevila, and the closest mikvah is 15 miles away, so if you don't let her go before Yantif on Wednesday afternoon, she's not going to be able to go to the mikvah until Motzai Shabbos. She'll lose out Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. A 3-day lag in being able to go to the mikvah is a Shasar Chak. That's when we'll allow day 7, again, provided that she doesn't have tashma. Because Shasar Chak b'diavdan. The question is anything less than that. What if it's not a 3-day lag? What if you have, I don't know, it's a 2-day yantif, it's not a 3-day yantif, it's a Shabbos, they don't want to wait the extra day, it's, you know, something like that. Yeah?
The other aspect is like if you're going to be with family, like an era you have more flexibility, but then you're going to be with family.
Later that evening, it's going to be harder to get away, it's Leil HaSeder, it's, you know, that which makes it very awkward. To try to figure out, oh, I'm going to, you know, see if Eliyahu HaNavi said, you know, like, how do you finagle that one? It's not so easy. So the Rush in Hilchos Mikvaos, Siman Lamed Vav, quotes a Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. The Rush writes, Rabbeinu Tam haya omer, Shein tzarech lachmer kol kach, rak shetitvol samach l'chashecha, u'bol l'beis ha'misha chashecha v'azdeka l'mecha sh'lshach b'ita. He says, well, what do we need to get around over here? He says, we have Shrach Bita and we have Shemesh Tishamesh Tevetista. Says, I could solve both problems with one easy solution, says Rabbeinu Tam. Don't come home till nightfall. And then you solve all the problems. Shrach Bita, what's the daughter going to see? The daughter didn't see that the mother came home during the day. As far as the daughter knows, the mother was still with us at night. Shemesh Tishamesh, she's not even home. How's she going to be Mishamesh? So if you just come home at night, you solve all the problems. No Shemesh Tishamesh Tevetista, no Shrach Bita, the daughter will only see her come home at night. The Rush quotes that Rashbam disagrees. Rashbam hayimachmir shalotit bol ad shetachshach. So Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel makes no reference to coming home after nightfall. He just says asura litbol biyom zayin. And the Shach Siv Katnivav says yeah, because we pass on like the Rashbam and not like the Rabbeinu Tam. Coming home after nightfall is not good enough. So that eitzah is not going to work. Shulchan Aruch paskins against it, says the Shach. Okay. The Shach quotes that the Bach even had a version of Rashbam that she can't even leave her house to go to the mikvah until nightfall because of Srach Bita. Daughter's not going to remember when mommy came home. Daughter's going to remember when mommy left. And if mommy left during the daytime, the daughter's going to realize that she went to the mikvah during the daytime. Wow. That would be a huge chumrah. That would mean like every time a woman goes to the mikvah, so typically what they do is if she does her preparations at the mikvah, for example, right, or if she just wants to run errands beforehand, or whatever, right, she can't leave during the daytime. However, the Shach points out that's only a concern if she's rochatzas v'chafafas b'beisa v'lechas l'makam tevila. That's only if she does the entire chafifa at home. But if she does the chafifa at the mikvah, then it's okay. She does her preparations at the mikvah in kan mishum shrach bita. Because it's going to take long enough that the girl will realize that the mother didn't just go to Beethoven. She must have been doing other stuff there. But if she does all the preparations at home and she leaves during the daytime, says the Shach, then there's such a chumra not to leave during the daytime. I think this is one of the good reasons that, one of the lesser good reasons, but it is one of the good reasons that it is totally appropriate that all mikvahs have a policy that a woman needs to do some sort of chafifa at the mikvah and not to just rely on the chafifa at home. And pretty much every Orthodox mikvah has such a policy. But when you come, you gotta take a shower. You can't just come, show up, and dip. Right? You gotta take a shower, you gotta do some sort of chafifa. Why? So many reasons. But one of the reasons, if you want to be machmir for the shita, but the Shach quotes, not to leave your house during the daytime, because that's included in Srach Bita, well, you can get around it as long as you do some chafif at the mikvah. So it happens to be that in the five towns for years, we had only one mikvah in the five towns, and it was in the basement of a house, and 8,000 families used to use that mikvah. and it was a disaster. I mean, can you imagine the night after Tisha B'Av, what that looked like? And before everyone was on these 6 month birth control pills that you don't get your period except for like, you know, twice in your lifetime or something. You know, like before that, before those inventions, it was insane. So with the less breva, some of the rabbanim had to say, okay, you can go and just dip. But that was less than ideal. That was way less than ideal. In fact, I'm not aware of a single other Orthodox mikvah that allows that. And now, Baruch Hashem, you know, Akshadara, there are less women going because of all these pills, and there's another very big, beautiful mikvah, and there's enough time for everybody to go and prepare properly. But that's there's a good reason not to, you know, there were some rabbanim that used to tell women in the five towns, don't use that mikvah, go to Farakla. Or insist that you can't be. But the women felt very bad because if they wanted to go and do chafiv at the mikvah, they would hear someone announce, anyone just want a dip? And then they would all cut the line and they would be able to just go in a dip. And they're like, wow, you could do that? But not really. But yeah. But, you know, so like it was a terrible situation. Yeah.
It's hard to understand because of how you have to do strach pita today on a few levels. First of all, you go during the day, the kids are in school, they're not going to know anything. Second of all, today you have people going swimming, they come back, I went swimming. There's no...
Where'd you go swimming, Mom? You know, I don't know. I think a lot of these things, and even probably then, they don't chat then, but like in seminary, when Mom went to do a chesed or whatever, and went to run an errand with no makeup, and like, you know.
Remember then that it was days.
That's like a crazy hashash for years later. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, but that's the reality. You know how many times kids, like, it clicks, like, you know, that's why Mom and Dad weren't passing things for 2 weeks. You know, that's why, you know, at my bar mitzvah, the pictures weren't as close as at my brother's bar mitzvah.
She's not going to remember that. She must have gone on the day 8, or she must have gone on the day 7. Like, you remember that. Oh, you realized that your mother was going to make it fine. But like,
during the day, she remembers that it was broad daylight outside, that after she went to the mikvah, we went to the county fair. Or, I don't know who goes to the county fair. I chose that example. We went somewhere, or whatever. Okay, I don't know. So, this leaves us in a bit of a bind, because Rabbeinu Tam is rejected, so you would think that Tevilah B'Yom Zayin is a total impossibility. So Rav Moshe has a mahalik. Rav Moshe has a mahalik that I just realized is 219. We're not going to be able to get into today. Let's put it this way. When I spoke to Rabbi Willard this morning, he said that Rabbi Forst is such a tzaddik. He says that the way Rabbi Forst speaks with such respect, he says in a footnote, he writes about Rav Moshe's mahalik that it is difficult to sustain. He said, what a nice way to say it. Rabbi Willig does not like it. I'll tell you, Rabbi Shechter has a very different view than Rabbi Willig on this, I think, based on my experiences, just an actual shilas that I've asked Rabbi Shechter about this. But what we need to see, and I would encourage you to look at it inside, the Avodas HaGershuni, Chuvas Avodas HaGershuni Simchat, it's available on the Bar Ilan. Parts of it, but not, I don't think enough of it, is in the back of Rabbi Sablovsky's Sefer. The tape, Simon Chav. What?
Sidutara quotes
the whole thing?
Not the whole thing. Part.
Yeah, so take a look at the Avodah Sagar Shuni. And then at Rav Moshe. Well, also, then Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is Yerdeach El Gimel Simon Samach. Yerdeach El Gimel Simon Samach. And once we have those, then we could start talking about, you know, what's what, and then we can get into a kala, and you know, which is the final exception. And Be'ez Hashem, hopefully, we'll try to finish Kufzad Zayin tomorrow. That will be the plan.